Good morning to each one of you. It's good to be here in church again this Sunday. It's good to see visitors. Trust you feel welcome here with us this morning. It's good to have you here. So thank you for the prayers that you've sent on my behalf, and I ask you continue to do that. This time of preparation has been harder than most, and I don't have an answer for why that is exactly. I know of my human self, I have nothing to offer, but I trust through God's Spirit that I could be used this morning to bring some type of a message that would be worthwhile for us. I know we are gathered here to worship. And I did look at the Sunday school lesson yesterday morning sometime, but by the end of the day, I totally forgot at all what the Sunday school lesson was about. But believe it or not, my thought lines are somewhat along the Sunday school lessons. I don't know if it's probably good that way. I don't need to say as much because Nick covered it well. My thought is, of some of the verses that I was looking at, a title is Harden Not Your Heart. And so some of you may say, good, I want to hear more about the heart. Some of you probably are saying, oh, this heart stuff again. I don't know where you're at on that spectrum. But it's pretty clear in the devotional and the Sunday school lesson that God cares about the heart very much. It's one of his top priorities, where our heart's at in life. And you know, I'm not too sure how well we have done as a culture about talking about the heart, really. Because to me, heart and emotions are pretty tight together. And the emotions thing scares some people because emotions don't feel safe all the time. Emotions aren't trustworthy, we understand that. But emotions were given to us by God. And if we're not going to be willing to deal with emotion, I don't think our heart can be alive, because I believe our heart is made up of emotion. And so Scripture comes out and tells us to harden not your heart. So to shut down your emotions, I believe, equals shutting down your heart. I know when I see tears from a family member, I get a little uncomfortable, and I would like to say, well, it's okay, just don't cry. I remember a time in my life, I was past the teenage years, but I was in a situation that I was crying, and my parents told me, don't cry. I understand what they meant. But is that how we look at emotions? Let's keep them all in control. Don't let anything get out of control. I'm way off subject. Didn't intend to talk about emotions. Psalm 95. I want to start at verse 6. Read verse 6 through 11. You read the book of Psalms, and I think that's where a lot of us go to maybe when we're struggling to get out of life what we think we should. I know Nick talked about it, that sometimes we find ourselves in a flat spot of life. We're not on a high, and maybe we didn't commit any huge sins, or don't feel like there's a lot of sin issues in our life or whatever, but we're just kind of, I don't know, a word I put to it is numb. And I guess, to be honest with you all this morning, that I'm not on a high in my spiritual life right now. And I know I could be a lot lower, but I don't feel as close to God as I know I should be or could be able to be, maybe. And so Psalms is a great book of the Bible to go to when we find ourselves a little bit discouraged or a little bit on a level that we're not sure whether we're coming or going. And I think you'll find why we connect with Psalms if we do. I know I do. I've heard others testify to that also. Because David, as we say, was a man after God's own heart, was a man of emotions. That's why Psalms is full of inspiration to us, and we feel like we connect with it, because he had his highs and lows, and he wasn't afraid to talk about them. He wasn't afraid to write about them. He found himself in many hard situations, and he put words to those situations. Psalm 95:6-11. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear my wrath, that they shall not enter into my rest. David had a great way of calling us to worship, calling people out to worship. This is the first verse, Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. I think a modern language we use is, come, sit at the feet of Jesus, is what I see in that verse. It says, Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. As you will notice in a lot of the Psalms, David starts out a call to worship. In a lot of Psalms, he talks about creation. He takes our mind to creation and how the earth is full of his goodness and his glory. And he brings out the earthly physical aspects of nature that teaches us who God is from a standpoint of simple truth and facts. Now, yesterday as I studied, a thunderstorm came through and there was loud claps of thunder. It was powerful and there was lightning, and it can scientifically be explained why that all takes place. But if we only scientifically awed by a thunderstorm because of the scientific aspects, I believe we've totally missed the point of what God does in creation, because his voice is loud and clear in many aspects of creation if we're listening. As David calls our attention to the simple facts of life, he often then moves into the heart connection with God. And you see that pattern in his writings. So we talk about people either that some people are just intellectually made up and they think all in intellect. And they tend to be smart people when it comes to book learning and so forth. And they're able to talk well and give a good argument. And we also talk about what we call heart people. And there are people that are maybe more on the emotional side and have a deeper connection in relationships because of their heartfelt things. But neither one is right or wrong. I want to make that very clear. because God has created both. And as you read the Psalms of David, he often starts out into intellect, but that intellect then moves into his heart and creates worship. And so that is encouraging to me, that God speaks through the simple things of life that we might call intellect or understanding benefits our heart, and our heart then makes our intellect worth having. To realize that we are worshiping God, our Maker, and we are His people. That's simple facts. None of us would deny that God has made us and that we are His people. But what do we do that? Do we just let it be intellectual? We say, well, yeah, God's a creator, we're His people, and we're just here putting in time until He calls us home. Or do you let that awe you, that God had a desire to create us, to bring Him worship? Do we realize how big and good God is? The simple fact of that, let it go deeper than our intellect into our heart, and to realize that He does care about us and He cares for us and desires us to listen to His voice. Today, if ye will hear His voice. Harden not your heart. So my question is, how do we hear God's voice? Do we hear God's voice? It says, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. I think we don't feel like we're hearing God's voice. We want to hear God's voice, but we don't feel like we're hearing it. Well, maybe we're looking too far and too hard, and we're missing some of the very simple elements of how God speaks to us. And I mentioned the storms. I mentioned creation and our thoughts. God speaks through our thoughts and obviously through His Word. The Bible is the biggest avenue of Him speaking to us. And so when we don't hear His voice, the saying is, it's not that He moved, but it's that we're probably not at the place we should be. Here God uses this, David uses the illustration of His very people. It said, when you hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And we went over this recently in our Sunday school lesson. It's a very familiar passage or concept. But how did the children of Israel continue to mess up and miss the heart of God? It was because they were missing His voice as He was speaking to them very clearly, as He was leading them with a cloud and with fire. He provided food for them. He provided water for them. He rescued them from bondage out of Egypt. And yet they continued to block the voice that God was using to them. Father God, we come to You this morning. We just thank You, Lord, for who You are. You are a good God. You are a holy God. You are a mighty God. And Father, we live our lives here and many times miss Your voice upon us. And Lord, we just ask Your presence to be amongst us here this morning. We know Satan does not desire his people to gather together and worship You. Lord, we are here because of You, because You have treated us well. And Lord, we want to hear Your voice here this morning. And whatever that means, may You be with us as we endeavor to look at Your Word and talk about it here this morning. Just thank You for each one that has come here. And may we all open our minds and hearts to receive your love and your care for us in our lives. We just ask this in your name. Amen. So as David wrote these words, you know, the children of Israel, basically their failure was unbelief. And we think, well, we don't have a problem with unbelief. We believe God. We believe He's good. We believe He has our best interest in mind. And we believe the Bible is true. But do we take it further than that? And that's where I believe the children of Israel continually looked at their circumstances and did not trust that God had their best interest in mind, because they started complaining and wanted different things and wanted more. He said it's the people that erred in their heart. And because they erred in their heart, God said that they would not enter into the rest that He had prepared for them. Now, this was the land of Canaan, was what He had prepared for the children of Israel, for them to be there and live there. But for us, it's heaven. God has prepared a place of rest for us. But if we harden our hearts, we will not be blessed with that place of rest. And we talked about love here this morning and in Sunday school lesson. And God is a God of love, but God is also a God of truth and a God of fact. And when we harden our hearts, we cannot connect with God. Yes, we can go through the motions of being a Christian, but God wants our heart. And I really am struggling this morning to explain that. If you turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So this passage, why I read that was for the last verse. And I guess that's my heart's cry for myself and for each one of you here this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, if our words and the meditation of our heart is acceptable to God, we are very well along the road of having a soft heart, I do believe. So this is kind of what I dealt with the whole time I was studying, and I don't know what it is, but I don't feel like I have anything to offer. I apologize to the visitors who are here, and everyone, I guess. Preaching has been something that I begin have started dreading in the last while. And I get angry about it, and that doesn't help. Some passages in Scripture that I always get uneasy when I read them, and I'm not sure why. But turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7:13-23. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. To me, that's a very sobering passage, because these people were doing more than I do. They were performing miracles. They were doing many good things. But when it came to the end of their life, God said he didn't know them. Enter in at the straight gate. It says the straight gate is narrow, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find the way. In Revelation, we have Jesus' words to the message of the different churches. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, it said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Another sobering passage as we read that, because again, this church was very much on track, was doing very much good, and calling evil evil and dealing with the issues, but it said they had lost their first love, and they needed to repent of that, or their name would be taken out of the book. Have I lost my first love? Have you lost your first love of being a Christian? You think back to when those that are married or dating, the love or the emotion or the joy or the excitement you had about dating and thinking of marriage. There's nothing quite like that first love of dating and anticipating marriage. And you feel like you've finally arrived, you've attained, your life feels good, it feels like nothing can ever go wrong. And as you get married, that feeling stays with you a while, But likely at some point, there are things that come up where it looks different. And reality hits, and life has many demands. And we can say, those of us that are married a lot of years, that our love is different now than it was when we were first married. We can say that it's stronger, that it's better, but it is different. But what about in our Christian life? Was it kind of that same way? Was it like we felt such relief? We loved God. We were ready to do anything for Him. We were all in. But the further into our Christian life we got, did it become mundane? Did it become burdensome? Did it become work? Did we lose our first love? We talk about the importance of being born again, and it is very important. It is we have to be born again to even be a Christian. And for you mothers that have carried a child for 9 months, I don't know how it is, but you do that have done. It's such a relief when that child is born that we have this baby now. The birth is over, and there's so much excitement and joy in that. But if that child would just stay a baby forever, we would be very concerned and very disappointed. Is that what God deals with sometimes as His children? Are we born again, but do we just basically stay as babies? Because we're born again, and there was a relief to that. If we're still babes in the Word, maybe God is calling us further, calling us deeper, and we've lost our first love. As we read Psalm 19 there, again, as I stated, David called us to the heavens declare the glory of God. And he talks about God's law. And it was interesting, the different aspects that he brought out. It's converting the soul. It didn't say converted the soul. God's law is converting the soul. It's a continuation. It's a continual work that he's doing, making wise the simple, enlightening the eyes. We talked a little bit this morning in the Sunday school about asking questions, and we see that that's how David connected with God. In verse 12, who can understand his errors? It said that we should always hold our own self in suspicion or something to that effect. And I think that's good advice. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults was David's cry. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is our meditation and our words acceptable to God? I thought of a song as I was studying. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? It is safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cable's passed. From his heart to mine. Do you get that picture? Will your anchor hold? It said the cables are passed from his heart to yours. The cables passed from his heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near. Though the tempest rage and the winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark or flow. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore with the storms all past forevermore. Will your anchor hold? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.